ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भगवद्गीता चैप्टर टू, चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड कंटेंट्स ऑफ द गीता समराइज्ड, टेक्स्ट नंबर 47। कर्म कर्मण्येवा अधिकारस्ते मा फलेषु कदाचन मा कर्म फल हेतुर्भूर् माते संगस्त्व कर्मणि। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डूइंग ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन, यू हैव ए राइट टू परफॉर्म योर प्रेस्क्राइब्ड ड्यूटी बट यू आर नॉट एंटाइटल्ड टू द फ्रूट्स ऑफ एक्शन। नेवर कंसिडर युअर सेल्फ the cause of the results of your activities and never be attached to not doing your duty. Purport. There are three considerations here: prescribed duties, capricious work, and inaction. Prescribed duties are activities enjoined in terms of one's acquired modes of material nature. Capricious work means actions without the sanction of authority, and inaction means not performing one's prescribed duties. The Lord advised that Arjuna not be inactive, but that he perform his prescribed duty without being attached to the result. One who is attached to the result of his work is also the cause of the action. Thus, he is the enjoyer or sufferer of the result of such actions. As far as prescribed duties are concerned, they can be fitted into three subdivisions, namely routine work, emergency work, and desired activities. Routine work, performed as an obligation in terms of the scriptural injunctions without desire for results, is action in the mode of goodness. Work with results becomes the cause of bondage. Therefore, such work is not auspicious. Everyone has his proprietary right in regard to prescribed duties, but should act without attachment to the result. Such disinterested obligatory duties doubtlessly lead one to the path of liberation. Arjuna was therefore advised by the Lord to fight as a matter of duty without attachment to the result. His non-participation in the battle is another side of attachment. Such attachment never leads one to the path of salvation. Any attachment, positive or negative, is cause for bondage. Inaction is sinful. Therefore, fighting as a matter of duty was the only auspicious path of salvation for Arjuna. So we have been reading Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, text number 47. I'll just repeat the translation. कर्मण्येवा अधिकारस्ते मा फलेषु कदाचन मा कर्म फल हेतुर्भूर् माते संगस्त्व कर्मणि। यू हैव अ राइट टू परफॉर्म योर प्रेस्क्राइब्ड ड्यूटी बट यू आर नॉट एंटाइटल्ड टू द फ्रूट्स ऑफ एक्शन। नेवर कंसिडर युअर सेल्फ द कॉज ऑफ द रिजल्ट्स ऑफ युअर एक्टिविटीज एंड नेवर बी अटैच्ड टू नॉट डूइंग युअर ड्यूटी। सो one Srila Prabhupada was in London. That time one reporter came and asked Srila Prabhupada. He asked that, Swamiji, why did you come to London? What is your purpose? Prabhupada replied, when the Britishers came to India, They took away so much of wealth from India. They took away the Kohinoor diamond and so much of diamonds and precious jewels. But they actually forgot to take the real wealth of India, which is Bhagavad Gita. And I have come to give this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to you, which is the real wealth of India. So Bhagavad Gita is actually the real wealth of India. Or Gurudas Prabhu, one of the senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada, like he was actually assisting Srila Prabhupada in establishing the temples in India, especially the Vrindavan temples and other temples. Like when the Western devotees, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, when they came to India, in fact, many of the reporters in India and many of the people were accusing these devotees to be CIA agents. You're saying that America sent these CIA agents to find out, to take away something from India, like that they were accusing. So once they were accusing Gurudas Prabhu that you are all CIA agents, like that they were accusing. So Gurudas Prabhu said, like, if I am a CIA agent, like, what can I take from your country, India? Huh? And he took out a pen. See, this pen is, that pen was leaking. See, this is what you have got. Having become CIA agent, will I come to India to take away this pen? So there is, the real wealth of India is Bhagavad Gita. I have come to India to take the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita from India, and I am taking this to the Western world so that all the people in the Western world, they can get benefited by understanding this knowledge of Gita. So, we will have a brief recap of so far. So, as we know that in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when the Pandavas and Kauravas were assembled on both sides, so Arjuna tells Krishna that, please take me to the center of the battlefield so that I want to see who all have come to fight us in this battle. I want to make an estimation of the enemies who have come to fight in this battle. So then Krishna takes Arjuna right in front of Bhishma and Drona and all the other relatives in the Kaurava army. So then just by seeing the relatives assembled in the battlefield with a fighting spirit, so Arjuna becomes completely confused. He, because of his soft-heartedness, he actually declines to fight. He gives various arguments for not fighting. So then finally, in fact, Arjuna, we saw that how Arjuna gave such logical arguments for not fighting. He says that when you fight in the battle, the elders of the family will be killed. So then there will be nobody to protect the women, and then they will be exploited by the unscrupulous men. The result will be Varna Sankara, or unwanted population. And these people will not practice religious principles, and because of that, the oblations to the forefathers will stop. So in this way, we will actually destroy the family tradition. So because of that, we will actually go to the hellish planets. So in this way, actually, Arjuna gives five reasons: compassion, enjoyment, fear of sinful reaction, and indecision, and destruction of the family traditions. So then finally, Arjuna actually surrenders to Krishna. He actually tells Krishna that, please, actually, now I am a disciple surrendered unto you. So please instruct me how I should actually, what should I do now? I'm completely confused. So he surrenders to Krishna, and then Krishna starts speaking Bhagavad Gita. So in the second chapter, from the 11th verse onwards, Krishna actually starts instructing Arjuna. From 11th verse to 30th verse, Krishna first spoke about that how we are not the body, but we are the spirit soul, which is not destroyed when the person dies. This body is temporary, but the soul is eternal. In fact, like when Srila Prabhupada was preaching, again and again, he would actually come to this basic point that you are not the body, we are the soul. There was one famous story when one of the ISKCON sannyasis, His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj, once he was preaching in New York. There was a New York Kathayatra was there. So when he went to the, there was a question answer booth. He was sitting in the question answer booth. At the time, two fat ladies came to the question answer booth. So Jayadvaita Maharaj was preaching to many people, and then he was saying that you are not the body, but we are the spirit soul. So as soon as these two ladies heard that, they said, "Oh, we are not the body." So it is such a relief for us. Because we are saying that everyone was telling us that you are so fat. Why are you so fat? Everyone was telling them. Now at least finally I have come to understand that we are not the body. So it is such a great relief for us. So simply by understanding that we are not the body, but we are the soul, that gives so much of relief. Then what to speak of actually practicing it? How much more relief it will give it to us? Like, there was statistics. It is said, the United Nations, they had conducted a statistic. They made a survey and they said that there is so much of poverty all over the world. If you want to eradicate the poverty of the world, we just need $13 billion. So we just have $13 billion, we can just eradicate the poverty. But then they found out that the combined spending of Europe and America together on cosmetic industry, that is actually $13 billion. So every year they spend $13 billion in the cosmetic industry, which is the combining Europe and America. So actually, even practically speaking, actually the whole cosmetic industry is based on the fact that we are the body. Because everyone is trying to decorate the body. But actually, at the time of death, like we see, like, I was reading one book in which His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was writing that when he was observing the bodies being cremated in Varanasi, when the bodies were being cremated, the first thing which actually disappears from the body is the hair. The hair actually burns immediately. So similarly, if we actually deeply see that, if we simply understand the fact that we are not the body, we are the soul, like so much of even unnecessary expenditures can be saved, and even the poverty can be eradicated. So in this way, Krishna actually, the first teaching which Krishna gave to Arjuna, the Bhagavad Gita, is that you are not the body, but you are the soul. So then, from the 31st verse to 37th verse, Krishna is actually attacking Arjuna's reason of enjoying propensity. Like, Krishna is actually inspiring Arjuna to fight based on the fact that you are a Kshatriya. As a Kshatriya, your duty is to fight. If you do not fight, what will happen? If you do not fight, like, because of that, you will actually get sinful reaction because you are not performing your prescribed duty. And if you fight, if you win the battle, you will actually get the kingdom and you will be able to enjoy the kingdom. And not only you will be able to enjoy the kingdom, even the other party who actually die in the battlefield, they will go to the heavenly planets. Because when a Kshatriya dies in the battlefield, they actually go to the heavenly planets. And suppose if you die in the battlefield, then you will go to the heavenly planets. So what is the So why are you hesitating to fight? So both way you are actually going to gain only. You are going to enjoy either in this world or in the heavens. So don't hesitate to fight. So Krishna was trying to inspire Arjuna based on the fact that you are going to gain something by fighting. Like, because every person has this deep-rooted propensity to enjoy. So Krishna is also inspiring that. Like it is said, like one devotee was saying that, like in MIT, they wanted to do a trial for a sleeping pill. They invented a sleeping pill. They wanted to actually do a trial for that. So they made an advertisement that we want candidates who can sleep from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning, and we'll be paying for that. So please come and be part of the trial. But surprisingly, they hardly found any customers. Because the parties begin in the night, 9 p.m. So they were, although they were paying money, that they were not coming for them. So the point is that everyone actually wants to enjoy, everyone is attached to sense gratification. So Krishna is using that reason. So if you fight, you'll be get a better facility for enjoyment. Like one Srila Prabhupada was, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada was asking Srila Prabhupada, what is the difference between Goloka Vrindavan and Vaikuntha? So Prabhupada said, at present, actually, you are in the material world. So why are you worrying about Goloka Vrindavan and worrying about the difference between Goloka Vrindavan and Vaikuntha planet? At present, our main duty is to, we have to become purified of this enjoying propensity. So the point is that every person has a deep-rooted propensity to enjoy. Everyone thinks that we are the body, and certainly we get some pleasure by enjoying the senses of the body. Even Krishna says in the fifth chapter, Yehi samsparshaja boga dukkha yonaya evate adyanta vanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. Krishna says that the happiness which is obtained by the contact of the senses with the sense objects has a beginning and end. So he's saying that there is definitely some happiness by the contact of the senses with the sense objects. Definitely, suppose if you're hungry, if you're not eaten since morning, if you're fasted for 2 days, then a nice feast prasadam is brought in front of you. So when you take every morsel of food, you definitely feel happy when you eat that food. But then, suppose you take 5 puris, 6 puris, pulao, gulab jamun, so many things. And after some time, the same food will become a cause of misery. Because the happiness is, it has a beginning and it has an end. So food definitely gives happiness when you are hungry, but it has a beginning and it has an end. The same case with any sense object. Like people like to hear nice music. There are like top 10 songs, top 20 songs like that comes. But then after some time, like they are bored with that song. They want some newer tunes, newer music directors. So the point is because matter cannot satisfy the soul. We are the spirit soul and we are spiritual in nature, but matter cannot satisfy the soul. So, Krishna tried to inspire Arjuna based on the fact that you will be able to enjoy better if you fight, whether you win the battle or whether you lose the battle. So then, from verse number 38 to 53, Krishna talks about what is called Nishkama Karma Yoga. Nishkama Karma Yoga means, Krishna is actually giving a higher level of motivation for Arjuna to fight in the battle. So Nishkama Karma Yoga Basically, one does his work in the mood of detachment without being attached to the results of one work. And he works in complete knowledge. So he does not have attachment to the results of the work. He is actually in the mood of detachment, and he also has knowledge. He has true knowledge that he is the body. He is not the body, but he is a spirit soul. Or even higher than that is, he is an eternal part and parcel of Krishna, eternal servant of Krishna. So, in the 38th verse, Krishna talked about detached work. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Gopal ji ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. In the 38th verse, Krishna said that just do not worry about happiness or distress. Just fight for the sake of fighting. He was actually telling Arjuna, just fight in the mood of detachment. Then in the 39th verse, he actually included knowledge. So 38th verse talked about nishkama karma. 39th verse actually includes knowledge. Krishna says, Yeshate bihita sankhe buddhir yoge tvimam shunu buddhya yukto yaya partha karma bandham prahasyasi. So you do your work with the knowledge, with the knowledge that you are not the body, we are the soul. If you do the work in a detached mood with the proper knowledge, then what will be the result? He is telling the benefit in 39th verse and in the 40th verse. The first benefit which Krishna tells is, karma bandham prahasyasi. You will not be bound to the fruitive activities. You will not be bound for whatever actions you are doing. And the second benefit which Krishna told is, neha bikrama nashosti pratyavayona vidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. You will actually, he says that, you will get freedom from the greatest fear. Even a little advancement on this path of buddhi yoga or nishkama karma yoga can actually will give you freedom from the greatest type of fear. So what is the greatest type of fear? The greatest type of fear is to go back again into the lower species. We have got this valuable human form of life, which is so rare. We have got this human form of life after going through 80 lakh species of life. It is said, how the human being form of life is so rare, example is given. It is said, the monkeys are, by nature, they are very lusty in nature. To find a monkey who is celibate is actually, it is very difficult to find a celibate monkey. And even if you find a celibate monkey, it is very difficult to find a markata mani on the head of a celibate monkey. So it is so rare. So, but when you have a pot made of markata mani, but if you use that pot made of markata mani, if you to collect some stool from the septic tank, like it is a foolish activity, isn't it? It is such a rare pot, because the markata mani is so rare. And if you have a pot which is made of markata mani, if you are using it for a very abominable, very some activity, then actually you do not know the value of that part. Similarly, like for example, suppose you do your MBBS or MD. After getting so much of degree, suppose if you take up a job of polishing shoe in the platform, what will relatives and others think? See that you are such a foolish person. Like you can be doing a white collar job in earning thousands of rupees. Why are you doing this such a job? So similarly, we have got this human form of life. In this human form of life, we can put an end to the cycle of birth and death. We have got the higher intelligence. But if we use that intelligence only for the purpose of doing these four activities, eating, mating, sleeping and defending in a better manner, then we are actually nothing but two-legged animals. So this, the benefit of Nishkama Karma Yoga is twofold. First benefit is that you will be freed from the bondage to work. Second is you will be saved from the greatest fear, that is to glide down again into the lower species. Then, in the 41st and 45th verse, Krishna actually tells the positive attitude of a person, who is practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga. And in the 42nd, 43rd and 44th verse, he is actually telling the negative attitude, what attitude he should not have. So in the 41st and 41st verse, Krishna said, Vyavasayatmika buddhi, ekeha kurunandana. Such a person, you should be one-pointed in determination. You should not be like trying different other options. You should be one-pointed. You should give a one-pointed focus to practice this Nishkama Karma Yoga, detached work with complete knowledge. And then in the 45th verse, Krishna said, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna Nirdvandvo Nitya Satvasto Niryoga Kshepma Atmavan. Krishna said, Traigunya Vishaya Veda. These Vedas just deal with the three modes of material nature. Just reject the Vedas. Nirdvandvo, rise above the dualities of happiness and distress. Nitya Satvasto. Be situated in the self. Understand that you are the eternal servant of the Lord. So these are the positive attitude which Krishna is telling to Arjuna for how he should practice Nishkama Karma Yoga. And the negative attitude by which he should avoid, he tells in the 42nd to 44th verse. 42nd verse, we saw that how Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadyant Avipaschitaha Vedavada Rata Partha Nanyat Asthiti Vadina. Krishna said that the Vedas actually, Vedas contain many flowery language. In the sense that Vedas contain so much of karma kanda sacrifices that if you do this, you will get such benefit. Do not be attached to the flowery language of the Vedas. Do not be attached to this karma kanda rituals which actually promise you to go to enjoy the heavenly pleasures. And then he said that Bogeshwarya prasaktanam tayam pahrita chetasam Vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhavna vidiyate. For one who is attached to Boga and Aishwarya, in such a person, the one-pointed determination does not take place. Vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhavna vidiyate. He is saying that you should not be attached to Boga and Aishwarya. Enjoyment and wealth. Interestingly, one devotee was commenting, why Krishna is using Boga and Aishwarya? Maybe he should use only Aishwarya. Because one may argue that only when a person has wealth, he will be able to enjoy sense gratification. So if we just use the word Aishwarya, then it is sufficient. One may say like that. But then, even enjoyment is possible even without Aishwarya. Even without wealth. Once Govind Prabhu, when he went to Nepal, Nepal is actually considered to be one of the poorest countries. The average income is very low. He was saying that when he went to one particular city, although the people were so poor, but still they were actually doing all the sinful activities. They were gambling, they were having intoxication, they were consuming intoxication, they were drinking liquor, they were indulging in illicit sex, etc. So they didn't have much wealth, but still they were enjoying sense gratification. So he was making the point that even without wealth, one can actually enjoy sense gratification. So that is why Krishna is using both, Boga and Aishwarya. When a person is attached to Boga and Aishwarya, in such a person, the resolute determination for practicing Buddhi Yoga or Nishkama Karma Yoga will not take place. So, then the 46th verse, then Arjuna may argue, so all these are like, I am giving Vedic reasons. If I reject the, like all these, like Vedas contain so many things, how can I reject them? So Krishna is saying, Vedas simply deal with the three modes of material nature. So you should simply reject it. So then Arjuna may think, oh, I have to take such a big risk by rejecting the Vedas, because Vedas is a huge library of books. It contains lakhs and lakhs of verses. It is said that Vedas contain 1 lakh times 1 lakh verses. So if I reject the huge library of books, then maybe I may actually progress in the wrong direction. So then it may be a big risk. Then Krishna is reassuring Arjuna by saying that you won't lose anything. He says, Yavan artha udapane sarvata samplutodake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanatah. He says that he is giving an example of a well. Like it is said, the villages, like there will be at least half a dozen wells. One well will be used for drinking water, one well will be used for washing clothes, another well will be used for washing dishes or some other purpose. So if you go to a village, there will be at least in the Vedic culture, in every village there will be like half a dozen wells, which will be used for a particular purpose. But then if you have a big reservoir of water, and which is actually flowing, if the water is flowing, then you don't need like different wells. Just with that one big reservoir of water, all the purposes can be solved. So similarly, Krishna is saying that if you know the purpose of the Vedas, then you don't have to worry about this karmakanda rituals. You don't have to know like why you have to practice each and every ritual. Simply know what is the purpose of the Vedas. As Krishna says in the 15th chapter, Vedeshya sarver aham eva vedyo Vedanta krit veda videva chaham. Krishna says the purpose of the Vedas is to know me. The object of the Vedas is to know me. In fact, one may say, like Krishna is a, like he is actually boasting himself. Like Krishna himself is speaking, he is saying that, oh, purpose of Vedas is to know me. So how can I believe in Krishna's words so strongly? But then we hear in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where the statement of Shukadeva Goswami is given. Shukadeva Goswami is saying, I don't remember the exact verse, but he is saying that how Lord Brahma, he actually studied the Vedas three times. Trir Anvikshya Manishaya. How did he study? He studied the Vedas with full concentration of the mind and scrutinizingly. Not only that, he actually deliberated on each and every verse of the Vedas. Sometimes one may just go through the book. May not actually study scrutinizingly. Or even one may study scrutinizingly, but one may not deliberate upon that. But Lord Brahma studied all the three Vedas with full concentration of the mind and with great scrutiny, and he deliberated on the conclusions of the Vedas. And then finally, what is his conclusion? He says, Ratir Atman Yato Bhavet. The purpose of all the Vedas is to develop attraction towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So not only Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, even Lord Brahma confirms after studying the whole Vedas that the purpose of the Vedas is to develop attraction towards the Supreme Lord. So then, we'll come to today's verse. In today's verse, again, Krishna is actually talking about Nishkama Karma. Karman Yeva Adhikaraste Ma Phaleshu Kadachana. Krishna is saying, you have a right to perform your prescribed duty. This is one of the verse which is like, many people would quote this verse to prove their point that work is worship. See what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying that karman yeva adhikaraste. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty. You have to do your duty. So just if you simply do your duty, so that is actually, that is sufficient. You don't have to like indulge in this devotional service, etc. You don't have to only say like that. But then what is Krishna is saying in the other parts of the verse? Ma phaleshu kadachana. He says, you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Ma karma phala heturubur. You are not, never consider yourself as the cause of the result of your activities. And never be attached to not doing your work. Arjuna may say, okay, you are not the cause of the result of work. So one may think, then why should I work? If I am not the cause of the result of work, so why should I work? So that's why Krishna is saying, do not be attached to not doing work also. So Krishna is very clearly saying that if you are not the cause of the result of your work, then you are not supposed to enjoy the results of your work. People actually do their work, but they want to enjoy the results of their work also. But we are not the cause of the results of the work. We have to offer the results to the Supreme Lord. By offering the results to God, then we can purify our work. Two persons may be working, but then a person who is working in Krishna consciousness, he does not have any reaction for his work. Just like suppose in a tape recorder is like nowadays, the people use MP3 player, etc. But if you use the tape recorder, like the tape recorder is running, from one spool, the reel is actually going out. Another spool, the reel is actually getting filled up. The size will be increasing. So similarly, when a person is actually working, doing his work with attachment to the fruits of activities, he is actually becoming more and more entangled. He is increasing his cycle of birth and death. He is increasing the future reactions. He has to again take birth to enjoy or suffer his actions. But when a person works in Krishna consciousness, then although he is externally, he may also be doing the same activity as the other person, all his karmas are getting vanquished. Just like the tape recorder is running, one part like the reels are getting they are reducing in the sense. So similarly, when a person works in Krishna consciousness, all his reactions, he will not get any reactions. So we see here, like, especially Krishna is actually mentioning this point, never be attached to not doing your duty. One Srila Prabhupada, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Mahavirya Prabhu, like, he was actually distributing books. He was attacked by the Gundas. So then he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada in a very humble mood. He wrote that, actually, I deserve much more than this thing. So can I actually go to Vrindavan and do bhajan? That he wrote letter. He was doing service and he was attacked by the Gundas. And he wrote that, okay, actually I deserve more. He was showing his humility, but then he thought, maybe with that humility, if I make this appeal that if, please give me permission to go to Vrindavan and I will just do hearing and chanting. So then, can you allow? Then Prabhupada was not carried away. He said that, be in the association of devotees and do whatever service you can, just do that activity. So Prabhupada was never recommending that, that do not be attached to not doing your duty. Like once, there was one devotee called Krishna Das. So Prabhupada sent him to Sweden. So that devotee opened a center. And after some time, Prabhupada was in some other place. And he saw this devotee was there. Prabhupada said, I sent you to Sweden. Why are you here? So this devotee said, actually, I opened the center. There was practically no response. I found it very difficult. So I closed down the center and then came here. Prabhupada said, see, when I went to America, I also didn't get any result. Huh? The easiest thing to do was just to stop everything and then go back to India. Huh? So I didn't do that. You should have continued your service then. Huh? So Prabhupada never recommended not doing the duty. So and another point is here, Krishna is saying this, that do not be attached to the fruits of activities. So when even a small attachment can lead us into a great entanglement. Just like it is said, like even a small fire in a tree, it can actually extinguish the whole tree. Huh? Or these attachments are very actually deep rooted. It is said, suppose if you see in the ocean or in a reservoir of water, some bubbles are there in the surface of the reservoir, that means there is deep contamination within the water. So similarly, when we get some wrong thoughts, when we are attached to some certain things, that means we must know that the attachment is actually deep-rooted, the contamination is deep-rooted. So we have to actually somehow develop this attitude of doing our work, not being attached to the results of the work. Then, in the 48th verse, just before going to the 48th verse, just similar verse, like similar to 47th verse, some people actually misinterpret Gita. Just like here Krishna is saying that do your prescribed duty, but then they don't take the other part of the verse. Similarly, there is one verse in the 9th chapter of the Gita where Krishna says, Ye api anya devata bhakta yajante shraddayanvita tepi maam eva kaunteya yajant avidhi purvakam. Krishna is saying that those who worship other demigods, other devatas, they are actually worshipping me only. Then one may use this verse and then one may say that, see, Krishna himself is saying that you can worship any demigod, and if you worship any demigod, you are ultimately worshipping Krishna only. So just follow any path. Huh? There is a famous philosophy, yato mat tato pat. Do what, follow whatever path you want, and ultimately the result will be the same. Huh? But even if you just use a common sense, like suppose you want to invest some money. If you want to invest some money, will you invest in any investment scheme? Or will you analyze like, what is the scheme about? Which company is offering? Huh? You will actually go through, you will ask so many people before investing your money in a proper scheme. You won't accept any investment scheme. So even for ordinary investment scheme, you won't just blindly invest in any scheme. Then how can you say that you follow, you worship any god, you follow any path, then you will get the same result? Even if you use common sense, it does not make sense. But Krishna says in the next verse, immediately, he says, Tepi maam eva kaunte ejanti avidhi purvakam. They ignore the second part of the verse, where Krishna is saying, ejanti avidhi purvakam. They are actually doing in a wrong way. When they worship the other demigods, but they are worshipping me only, but such worship is against the rules and regulations. Avidhi purvakam. So in this way, one has to see the whole verse. That is why it is very important to hear Bhagavad Gita from a person who comes in the disciplic succession. So then in the 48th verse, is a very important verse in the Gita, in which Krishna is actually giving the definition of yoga. Krishna is saying, Yogastha kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dananjaya siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva samatvam yoga uchyate. So there are four elements in this verse. He is giving the definition of yoga. First is kuru karmani. That means yoga, one has to work. Krishna is saying you should work. But how one should work? Sangam tyaktva. detachment. You should not be attached to the fruits of the work. And then the third element is Sangam Chaktva Dhananjaya Siddhi Asiddhyo Samo Bhutva. Siddhi Asiddhyo Samo Bhutva means that abandoning all attachment to success or failure. So in other words, the knowledge element is present here. So there are four elements: work, detachment, knowledge, and meditation. So these four elements, when we include these four elements, then only it actually constitutes yoga. So how actually knowledge element is included in this verse? Because Krishna is saying, Siddhi Asiddhyo Samo Bhutva. Abandon all attachment to success or failure. So a person can actually achieve equanimity only when he has knowledge. If you see in the way back in the second chapter, when Krishna spoke the 13th verse, Krishna said, Dehi nosmin yata dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tata dehantara praptir dhirastatra namukhyati. He said that, yeah, the soul passes from childhood to youth to old age. And similarly, at the time of death, it takes up, it leaves this body and then takes up another body. Yeah, sober person is not bewildered by such a change. Krishna talked about knowledge of body and soul in the 13th verse. And when one has the knowledge of body and soul, what will it lead to? In the 14th verse, Krishna said, Matras parshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukadukkada. When you have that knowledge that you are not the body but you are the soul, you will be able to tolerate the happiness and distress. So when you have the knowledge, you can have equanimity. If you are having equanimity, that means you have to have knowledge. So Krishna is actually saying, Siddhya Siddhyo Samo Bhutva. You should not be abandon all attachment to success or failure. So this means that yoga involves knowledge. Sometimes people just do yoga, they give up their work, and then just do meditation. So Krishna is refuting that. Kuru Karmani, you have to do work. Yoga is not, yoga does not mean that you give up your work. And he's saying, detachment. Second is Sangam Chaktva. You should not be attached to the fruits of the work. You should be detached. But nowadays we have the concept yoga for better health, yoga for better sex life. They are actually, they are doing yoga in order to get some mystic siddhis so that they can get some, they can actually influence the people. And then Krishna is saying that he is also including the knowledge aspect. You have to have the knowledge. You can't just blindly accept. You have to study the scriptures. And then the fourth aspect of yoga is meditation. Like Prabhupada writes in the purport, one who has actually come to understand one's constitutional Krishna tells Arjuna that he should act in yoga. And what is that yoga? Yoga means to concentrate the mind upon the Supreme by controlling the ever-disturbing senses. And who is the Supreme? The Supreme is the Lord. And because Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight, Arjuna has nothing to do with the results of the fight. So meditation is also there. Because Krishna is actually telling, meditation means you have to meditate on the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord himself is telling Arjuna to fight. So that aspect is also there. So because all these four aspects are there, so these four aspects give the complete definition of yoga. So later, we'll prove that how only bhakti actually proves all these requirements of yoga. So these are the four requirements of yoga, and only bhakti satisfies all the four requirements of yoga. So that is why when you read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, sometimes Krishna uses the word yoga, but then Prabhupada actually, in the purport, he actually uses as devotional service or bhakti yoga. Because yoga means devotional service. Because only devotional service satisfies all the four aspects. That is work, detachment, knowledge and meditation. All other paths, they do not actually satisfy all the four requirements of yoga. So in this way, Krishna is actually inspiring Arjuna. So 47th verse talked about nishkama karma, working without detachment, working with detachment. And 48th verse, Krishna gave the definition of what is yoga. So when we combine 47th and 48th verse, we actually come to know what is nishkama karma yoga. You have to work in the mood of detachment by offering the results of work to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when you do such kind of activity, then you will not be entangled. Just like Prabhupada writes in the purport, there are three kinds of activities: prescribed duties, capricious work, and inaction. Prescribed duties are activities enjoined in terms of one's acquired modes of material nature. Capricious work means action without the sanction of authority. Just like, suppose a person is fighting, like suppose many gangsters, they are also killing so many people. And many soldiers are also killing others in the border, in the Indian border, they are killing other Pakistani soldiers. But then when they kill so many Pakistani soldiers, they are giving Bharat Ratna, or they are giving award, they are given award. But then when these gangsters, when they kill so many people, they are not given award, they are put in the jail. Because one action is authorized by the government, and another action is not authorized by the government. So similarly, when a person does activities on behalf of the Supreme Lord, then there is no good or bad reaction for that. In fact, such action is so powerful, that such nishkama karma yoga is so powerful, that it can nullify all the good and bad reactions which you are supposed to get by all the activities which you have done in the so many millions of lifetimes in the past. So that is the power of nishkama karma yoga. For every action you have to get some reaction. If you do a good activity, you have to get some good reaction. If you do a bad activity, you have to get some bad reaction. And ultimately, whether good action or bad action, both are bad. Whether wet stool or dry stool, both are bad. Stool is stool only. So similarly, whether good activity or bad activity, you have to again take birth in this world to suffer birth, worldly disease and death. But nishkama karma yoga is so powerful, our devotional service is so powerful, that when one does this activity, not only this particular activity will not have any reaction, it has the power to nullify all the past reactions of all the activities which you have done in the all the millions of lifetimes in the past. So that, in this way, Krishna is giving a higher motivation to Arjuna to perform the fighting without attachment to the results as a service to the Supreme Lord. So I'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.